Good morning and Maranatha. May Shalom of the Lord continue to preserve us even as we wait for this great day. Jesus talked about the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is not a particular day, it's a season, it's a moment of time when very many things will happen in the last days. The day of the Lord represent the last days events, about 10 of the last day events. One of the things that we have discovered so far is that Jesus, or the Lamb, at the center of the throne, was given the scroll. He holds the scroll, and we say this is the title deed that is written on the particulars of the earth, meaning that he has the authority and the earth belongs to him. You know, the title deed means that you own a particular piece of land and you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. Now, what the Lord is doing is that he's clearing. He's just about to clear all the unwanted bushes that have grown in his piece of land. And these bushes and thorns represented in the Bibles is about sins and iniquity and rebellion of man. So he opens the first seal, six seals. There are seven seals, but he breaks the six seals. And in the six seals, he unleashes or he releases great pain so that he can clean his land. He is reclaiming back his land. I want you to realize that as the Lord cleans his land, two things happen. One of the things is that some people continue to harden their hearts. We discovered that the kings and the generals and the rich and the poor and even the slaves and those who are working there as slaves, all of them, regardless of their status, they refuse to repent. And they were asking the hills and the mountains to fall on them so that they may hide from the presence of the angry Lamb and the one who sits on the throne. So one group refuses to repent. Because we said, great tribulation, let me put this, and I want to remind you, is for calling people back to God. It's a means of evangelism. It's a tool to call the rebellious back to himself. God still loves the world. The church has been taken home. Yes, the church is already in heaven celebrating, but the Lord has not forgotten every other human being because he loves the world. Even before we got born again, he still loved us. So people refuse to get born again, even as the Lord uses all the six seals. And number two, within the six seals, some people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And two groups comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. One group is the 144,000 Jewish priests, no evangelists. These are people that are going to go to evangelize every Jew and every Gentile in the last days. And they go out and they started evangelizing all the all the Jews, the firstborn son, as we said. And I told you from the Bible, Romans 11, all Jews, every Jew that will have remained will get born again. Don't make a mistake. They are rebellious now, but one day they'll be preached to. But another group that will also come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ under the evangelism of the 144 is millions and millions and millions of the people who stands on the throne and who come from the tribulation. That one we discovered. And they have washed their lumps with the blood of Jesus. They have refused the mark of the beast as you're going to discover in chapter 13, as it's explained. But they've been killed because of the testimony of Jesus. But they have come to the Lord. So this is one of the things I will ask you and me. Please, let's come to Jesus when we still have time. Don't wait until this difficult time. This difficult time, not many people will be able to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but millions will still do. This is chapter 6. Now, chapter 7, we discover, is a moment of celebrations. It's a celebratory moment in chapter 7. And what is happening? We discover that, the 144 Jews and these that had been born again, that as we end up chapter 7, we find it was a time of noise and a time of celebration and a time of noise and crying, and heaven was wild with joy and all that. And then chapter number 8. Please listen to this. After noise, silence. After noise, silence. It's good to realize that we worship God through noise, but we also worship God through silence. Many worshipers don't know the purpose of silence. I'll teach you three purposes of silence, which is very important, and we must learn to do silent. One of the things that we call silence today is solitude. Another thing that we call it is the one that we call the submission. It is the one that you call the quiet time. It's the one that you don't do many things, but you just keep quiet. You let the Lord speak. You enjoy the Lord. Who told you that you have been called only to make noise and ask and thank God and all that? This is good, but we must also allow the King to minister to us. We must wait. We must listen. Silence is very important. So verses 8 says, chapter 8, this is when the Lord breaks the seventh seal. Remember, the seventh seal is now giving the full measure of what was in the seals. Remember, he was opening one seal at a time, one seal at a time, and people were anticipating. People didn't know what the second seal, the third seal. They were looking up. Now the seventh is over, and now they can be able to see the big picture and all the magnitude of what pain the Lord had done in the first phase of the silence. Now let's read. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense banner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayer of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before him. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angels had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from altar and threw it down upon the earth. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was terrible earthquake. Let me pause there and give two things. One, the purpose of silence, as I said. Silence in heaven has three parts. Part number one is, the one is compared to when the judge is in the room. Do you know what happens when the judge comes into the room? When people are waiting for judgment, remember this is the judgment time, and people are waiting, and there are people who have been called, are coming to listen as the judge investigate and tell them their judgment. Some people are crying, some people are waiting, they were anticipating, they were looking and waiting for the judge. I'm giving an example. This is the first thing. And immediately when the judge comes in the courtroom which here he calls his temple, silence sets in. Silence sets in. And it's good for you to realize that this is what happens. Let me read you a scripture in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2 and verses 20. But the Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk 2:20. When the Lord comes into the temple, not that he was not there, he shows up now, is a time for him to do something. And what is that one something? I'll tell you in a while. But people get silence to honor him and to wait for him to speak and tell you what's the way forward. What's the way forward? Number two, the purpose of the silence in heaven is to look back. To look back. We've been having time of severity or times of judgment for the six seals. And people are supposed to reflect, both in heaven and on earth, to reflect what this judgment has done. And as they reflect, those who have not yet given their life to Christ might see that God loves them, and God intended that the seals of the judgment are not meant to kill them or to finish them or to destroy them, but to make them come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Death is just coming in chapter 19, 20. But here, you are looking back in that judgment of what has happened. Number three, the silence in heaven is to look forward. You discover we are just about to stop or to translate from the first set of judgments. I told you that heaven is going to use three sets of judgments. Judgment in increasing measure. Judgment number one, they are called the seals judgment. There are seven of them. We're just finishing we are going to finish the last one today. And number two, we enter into the second one called the trumpet judgment. We have already discovered that the trumpets were given to the seven angels who sit at the throne. So people are anticipating, what does this mean? So they are looking forward and saying, what's the meaning now of other trumpets judgment? You mean the Lord, you have not done with the seals judgment? And thereafter, there'll be another seven sets of judgment called the bowl judgment. They make 21 series of judgments. Just like in Egypt, when God was punishing sin and rebellion in Egypt, he gave 10 judgments, 10 events. They are called plagues, and there were 10. They come one after the other, one after the other. I also want to remind you that when there was those plagues in Egypt, one after the other, there was silence in between each one of them. But here, this silence is also to look forward for what is going to happen. And it will be good to know that what's going to happen will be more terrible, as we keep on realizing. But here we have discovered that the angel here are given the trumpets. They will blow them. We'll realize them from the other chapter. But there's another angel who has a very something that you need to realize. At this other angel who has gold incense burner and stood before the altar. I want you to know how the altar looked like. There's a golden altar, and this angel was given incense to mix with the prayer of God's people. Let me tell you what happens when you pray. Your prayer goes to heaven, but it's mixed with the incense, as we discover here. This is the ministry of angels. The Bible says that they are ministering spirits to those that are going to inherit life. And so they're mixing angels with incense. Incense is sweet smelling aroma. So our prayer is a sweet smelling aroma before God. Keep on praying. Let's keep on calling the name of the Lord. Let's not ever stop praying, But you must know that some of the prayer, all the types of prayer, some of them is just keeping silent as a prayer before God. So when this prayer are now put in the incense, they are put in the altar, and sweet aroma goes to heaven. And the Bible says that the smoke of incense mixed with the prayer of God's people ascended up to heaven from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Can you imagine that this is the two, let me say, the two purpose of prayer of God's people, two purpose of God's prayer. Number one is supposed to go up in heaven. Even when you pray for earth and you pray for great things to happen on earth to be changed, first the prayer must first go to heaven. It must be received in heaven. It is an aroma. It is a gift to God, to God. The Bible says that it is a sacrifice. You know, it goes up as a sacrifice, ascend up to God from the altar where the angel has poured them out. The angelic field, the incense burned from there and the altar and threw it upon the earth. Now, when this prayer first goes to heaven and it is go through that altar, it has two things. It goes up to heaven. Then second, the angel takes the same prayer mixed with the incense and then throw it on earth. And what happens? When you throw it on earth, the Bible says that upon the earth, thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was terrible earthquake. Do you know your prayer has got the effect to the Father and the one who sits on the throne, and it has effect to the bad things that are happening? But it must first be received by God, and then it will come. Now, that's the cycle of prayer. Don't just think that we are praying directly to the things that we are, you know, that we see in heaven. That's not our work to change the heaven. I mean, the earth. We cannot change ourselves, neither can we change anything on earth. The evil we see happening on that, the evil we see from the kings and the rulers here on earth, we can't change. But we must make sure that our prayer first goes to heaven. And it is from heaven that prayer comes back to earth, and it is going to effect that which God wanted. Father, help us to know how to pray, and help us to first give it to you as an honor, and then that prayer will be able to work on earth as you deserve. Help us, teach us how to pray. And help us to know even the power of silence in your presence. In Jesus' name.